one of the verses that I think, probably the one verse that every single person who's a believer knows, the one verse, if you said, I only know one verse that I have memorized, it would always be John 3:16. And everybody knows John 3:16 and the promise that's there for us. Well, John, of course, is the author of that, and that's from his gospel. But John also writes to us, and I love the writing that John has in 1 John. And we have a Bible study that we're doing at our church, and we've been going through the book of 1 John. And it's amazing because you're looking at John much later in life than when he wrote the Gospels. Well, he lived the life of Jesus. Then a lot of years went by, he wrote his Gospel. And then more years went by, and of course he wrote his 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then eventually Revelation as well. But even as he's writing his 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, those letters, there's a lot of time that's passed, but the amazing thing is you can still see, if you compare his writings in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and compare it to his gospel, you can see so many of the same themes, of the same truths that were so powerful and so impacting that you still see them being shared in his letters. So when we look at the book of John in John 3:16, and we know that it tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that for those who would believe in him would have everlasting life, would not perish and have everlasting life. We know that promise. It's the one verse that probably every single believer knows for certainty. They understand. They know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all those who would believe would not perish and have everlasting life. So we know that. We take that to heart. But the great thing is, and this is kind of awesome, John wrote that because that's what Jesus said. He documented the words of Jesus Christ. And we all know those words. But the great thing is when you look at John's letter, 1 John, and this is kind of ironic, because you can see John building upon the premise that he wrote in 1 John 3:16, that ubiquitous verse that all of us know. You can see him build upon that. A lot of us, we read that verse, we know that verse, and it's become so familiar to us that we really don't even get much of a second thought. You know, it's one of those verses that you don't often hear people speak a lot about because we kind of hold that verse in reserve. It's the verse that we use when we're going to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody else. So we hold that in reserve just for those occasions. We don't think about it or do much with it. But here's the thing, and I love what John does with this. John takes that premise, that concept, that God so loved you, he so loved the world, that he gave his best. He gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. And Jesus became a man. Jesus laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice, as flesh and blood man. Took the sins of men, because he was then a man, took the sins of man to the cross as a man, also God, took those sins to the cross. So we all understand that's what John 3:16 is all about, that all the rest of us would not perish if we accepted that and we believe it, but we'd have everlasting life. But when you read 1 John, he builds upon that very theme. So rather than just forgetting John 3:16 or just holding it reserve for those times we're going to share the gospel with somebody, we need to not just stop there. We need to keep learning, because John did. John wrote that, those words of Jesus. John didn't just stay there. He kept learning and growing even from that ultimate foundational truth. And we need to as well. And here's the amazing thing. In John's first letter, John 3:16. So we know that verse from John 3:16. John really develops that and builds it even further in his first letter. In the same verse that breaks down to be the exact same verse, 3:16. So 1 John 3:16 says this. By this we come to know and progressively to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and that we ought to lay down our own lives for those who are our brothers in him. So John is building upon that which is that basic foundational scripture that all of us utilize to win people. Probably a lot of us were won to the Lord with that scripture and that understanding. John takes it and he's building upon it. We need to build upon it as well. Let me read that again. This is from the Amplified Bible. By this we come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for those who are our brothers in him. So John's building upon John 3:16 here in 1 John 3:16. I love the fact that it's so easy to see. We understand John 3:16. Now we go to the next step. Now we develop that whole truth. We develop it even further in our own personal lives and what we're supposed to do with our lives in 1 John 3:16. So John's telling us in this verse, because he's talking about the essential love that he laid down. So John's telling us in the verse that the only way that we can know the real love is, let me read that part again. By this we come to know, progressively to understand and perceive and understand the essential love that he laid down. Essential love means this is the foundational love. You've got to start here. John's telling us the only way that we can really know love, that you can really understand love in your life, is by accepting the love that he demonstrated. Accepting the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated in his life and in his sacrifice as well. When we, I think all of us have come to that level where we've come to understand the love of Jesus Christ as far as what it means to us personally at that foundational level, that it means he loves us so much he gave his life that we could be with him for not just in this life, but for all eternity, that we would never perish, but have everlasting life with him. That's love. Now, as we understand that love, that is real love. And it's the essence. It's the foundation. It's the beginning point. It's that which we build upon to further understand the depths of his love for us. You know, my wife is, she loves watching the Food Network. And so I'm with her a lot, and so I see a lot of the programs. And one of the things that's kind of funny, one of the things that you hear consistently, and you hear themes, you know, if you're watching sports if you're watching sports networks or if you're watching history networks, whatever it is, you hear themes all the time. It's like all things in life. There's certain phrases or thoughts that become paramount and are spread throughout that industry. And one of the things that I always hear on the Food Network when I'm listening is they always talk about food and they talk about the depth of flavor. And a lot of times they'll say, oh, it's just one note. You know, there's not that depth of flavor. You need to build the depth of the flavor so you have multiple layers of flavor. You hear that a lot. Well, the same thing is true. We need to have depth in our understanding of the Word. Instead of just taking John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who would believe would not perish, but would have everlasting life. We need to take that which we have that basic understanding of what it means to us. But he's saying that's just the essential beginning. There's so much more that we can learn and know about the love of Jesus Christ, his love for us, his love in us, for us, in us, and through us. And rather than just staying stagnant at that level of, hey, I'm saved. Jesus loves me and I'm saved. That's great. Now, let's go on with our lives and do whatever we want to do. Now, we need to understand the depth. There's layers. There's depth. You don't just want that one note. You want to build upon it. It's like if you just have one note, that's not a song. And it's not a symphony. It's a truth. It is a great truth. It's a beginning truth. Every great symphony starts with one note. But you're not going to just play one note of the classics. You're not just going to hear somebody go up. I've got a friend who she's just a tremendous, tremendous violinist. It's beautiful to listen to her play the violin. Never really appreciated the violin until I heard her playing it. Now, if she got up to perform and she was going to perform something from Mozart, or I'm not a musical person, so a classic song, you'd be all excited to this classic song. If she just played the first note and then stopped, there probably would not be uproarious applause afterwards because we're expecting more. You know, a symphony is not made of one note. A symphony is made of the depth of the music, of the richness that comes from that depth of understanding and the fullness. Because one note, I'm not a musician, you know, but one note becomes, I don't know, chord. I mean, and you know what I'm trying to say. It builds. The sounds become enriched. And sometimes it's not just playing the one note, but all the multiple notes together. Simultaneously, it's the depth. And then it's not just the multiple notes you play together, it's the arrangement that you make out of it and what you do with it that makes it a symphony. So a symphony is not based upon one note. In the same way, we make the mistake as believers of taking the one thing that we know from the Word of God, and you understand something from a verse. Thank you, Jesus, for that understanding that we get. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that understanding. But we need to say to ourselves, but now I want more. I went from that same verse, I want more. You know, at our church, I pastored a church in Perrysburg called City on a Hill. And at church, I've spent the last 4 weeks just talking about Jesus teaching us how to pray. So I'm just looking at the Lord's Prayer, which is just like in Matthew. It's just Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. That's it. Okay, yesterday I spent 3 weeks just looking at the verses that led up to it to get ready for it. And then even yesterday, whole service just on that first, the very first two phrases, the very first line, the very first verse. There's only two separate phrases. And we spent the whole Sunday on that. There's such depth and richness in every word, in every phrase that's there in the Word of God. We need to build upon it. Don't just be happy with the one note that you have. I mean, be happy with it, but don't be content with it. Want more, because I guarantee you, Jesus wants you to see more. So John said in John 3:16, that classic, it's that foundation for our understanding. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is fabulous. The freedom, the liberty that's there. Thank you, Jesus. But don't be content with it, because John wasn't. In 1 John 3:16, we just read it. You see that one of the things, I'm going to talk about one element, but he said this is just the foundation. This is what you build upon. It's understanding that love, and then you build upon that. So don't just accept that one note, or don't be satisfied just with that one note. Want the symphony, the depth, the richness of the symphony of love and understanding. Understanding that love that Jesus has for you, in you, and through you. So John's talking about that love demonstrated by Jesus Christ, and that's the starting point. It's the building block for which we understand and we begin to grow. And he goes on, you can look at that same verse and see how he continues to build upon John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He builds on there. And what he's saying in 1 John 3:16 is, you and I don't fully understand his love yet. It's progressive. So here we have that same theme. It's not just the one note. You continue to develop it and you continue to get more of it. Look at it again. By this we come to know, progressively to recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love. Even John, there is no one in the Bible that knows and understands love, the revelation of love. Nobody had a greater revelation of the love of Jesus Christ than did John. John's the one that authors his gospel, refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. He had the revelation on the love of Jesus Christ. Nobody has a better revelation. And yet even John, and as we said, when he wrote the Gospels, you know, years and years go by before he writes his letters, then more time passes until he writes Revelation. There's a lot of time, and even from the time that he was with Christ until he wrote the Gospel, there was a lot of time. And yet from all of that time, from season after season of John's life, all the way to the end, John himself, the one who has the greatest revelation on love from being with Jesus Christ and walking with Jesus, even at the time he walked with Jesus, he had that revelation of the love of Jesus. And yet he, who has the greatest revelation of the love of Jesus, still says, all these years later, we come to know progressively to recognize and perceive and understand. Progressively means it's an ongoing learning process. Even for John, he's continuing to build that symphony of love of Jesus Christ and the understanding of Jesus' love for him personally. Understanding the love of Jesus for him, in him, and through him. It's a progressive work. You don't fully understand it now. See, sometimes we think that we do, but we don't. Don't just settle for what you know right now. Don't just be content with what you know right now about John 3:16 and about the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God who sent his best in Jesus. Don't just be content with what you know right now. Just because you know John 3:16 and you know what it means for you, I guarantee, because John himself is saying, hey, look, there's more to know. There's more to understand. It's a progressive learning. Be excited about how much more you can come to understand the love of Jesus Christ for you. Keep exploring that love. Keep on searching for more understanding of that love. Keep on communing with him to get that richness, those more notes, that symphony. No one knew love better. And John himself said, even with him, it was a progressive work with him. And so it is with us.